Welcome to the Why Don't You Say Something podcast, where we're doing exactly that, saying something about the online coaching, online course world, and spiritual industry, because we're all wondering what the F is going on. I'm Eva, a former yoga teacher and online business strategist, who slowly started to question some of the things that I was learning and teaching myself. I've now come to see the light, and I'm sharing those learnings with you here. In this podcast, we're going to break down some of the red flags we see, hear people's stories and experiences, and offer resources on how you can do business in a bullshit-free way yourself if you are in business. Heads up, as you're listening, I swear a lot, so be careful of your kiddos' ears. Hey everyone, it's Eva. Today is a podcast interview. I'm so excited. I'm actually excited. It is a juicy, juicy, juicy one. Today's interview is with someone named Carly, who I connected with on Instagram. And let me tell you, I just really loved how she was speaking up. I loved what she had to say, and I was pretty blown away at her experience in the industry. And we've been able to connect and talk so much about everything that we're seeing, everything that we experienced, everything that's going on. She was very high up there, masterminding with the best of them, making six-figure months, and she walked away from it all, and that's not what she's up to today. She shares a lot of good things on this podcast, so thank you, Carly, for being on with us today, and let's dive in.
Here we have Miss Carly on today. I'm so excited to get to talk to you. This has been such a long time coming. And I'm really excited because I haven't heard your story or gotten to connect with you or gotten to hop on Zoom with you and hear this new, just like everyone else is hearing it today. So thank you so much for being here and for being willing to share your experience.
Thank you. So glad to be here. Following your stuff has been really just, it's brought such a beautiful lightness to something that has felt really heavy in my life at times and has felt quite dark. And so I'm so grateful to you. And I love that we've kind of connected and built this connection, but we haven't actually gone really deep on anything in a call like this. So I'm excited to do this. I have a lot of respect for what you do. And as someone who has seen the dark side of a lot of what you bring lightness to, it's needed. So it's an honor to be here with you doing this.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for saying that and right back at you. So I remember first finding your account and I remember watching your stories and you were sharing that people could work with you in copywriting. And you were like, yeah, it's this price, maybe a couple $100s. Mm-hmm. And you're like, in the past, I used to charge $1,500 an hour or something. And yeah. So you were talking about that journey of that change. And I was like, oh shit. Like I have got to talk to her. I relate so much. I would love to hear her story. And I was also so happy that you were sharing that. Like you've been someone who I've looked up to as far as what you've shared, the realness and your journey and where you are and how things match for you and your family and your values and all that stuff. So that was my first experience of you. And it was just really cool to see. But before we dive into all that, I guess, Miss Carly, like, tell us a little about yourself. I know there's a lot of layers and things to get into, but I guess tell us a little about yourself, maybe what you were doing and then, you know?
Yeah. So let's call it entrepreneurial journey started when I became a mom about 9 years ago and I started a little at-home admin business that morphed into resume writing because a few people reached out to me because my background was HR. So I had this really nice, bustling little resume writing business. I was making like $500 a week, which was so much money to us as this, you know, first home buyers, first baby. Like it was a big difference. It was our groceries and our petrol and, you know, all of that. And so I was really happy with what I was doing and I was kind of at capacity and I wanted to train up some people to work with me that I could kind of contract some of the resumes out to. And then I went, man, I'm going to like make a course on how to write resumes that someone goes through to work with me. Maybe it actually makes sense for me to like sell this. And I was already a little bit exposed to the coaching and course making industry because I wanted to do career coaching alongside my resume writing business. So I had already embarked on, I think at this point, a coaching course, like one of those, I don't know how I somehow on such a low income, not, it was a lot, it was, you know, to me now it seems like it's, at the time it was a lot of money, but this $5,000 coaching course I was doing anyway. So because I wanted to do career coaching and I felt like I needed someone to go, okay, you're allowed to do career coaching. Mm-hmm. So I was already kind of exposed. So I knew that like you could sell courses. I knew that was a thing. So long story short, I reached out to someone who I knew who made courses and sold them on the internet. And I said to her, I want to learn how to do it. I want to make a resume writing course. I want to help other mums be resume writers. So I did a program of hers. I did a coaching program of hers, and she helped me. And she really did help me a lot. It was great. She helped me make this course. This course reached a lot of people. All of those people launched successful resume writing businesses. And when I say successful, you know, $500 a week or something like that of income, working, you know, sporadic amounts around their kids and things like that. So that's how it started off. And then those people who did the course, they wanted to learn more from me about, you know, how do you get more clients through social media? How do I coach someone through an interview? How do I? And so I kept making more courses for them. And then I realized that some of the courses I were making weren't just for resume writers. There was stuff about how to do social media and just things that I had just figured out. So I was making all these courses, and then I opened it up, and it was for women in business. It was for women with a service-based business. Now, when you're making courses and you're mentoring women with, with a business that is online, you are suddenly in this world. There is a whole industry of women coaching women in online business, and I suddenly found myself in that. Now, for 3.5 years I had this mentor who I can tell you had such a beautiful and positive effect on my life, and I'm so glad that she was in my life, and she coached me through some big moments in my life. And something changed at some point where she got herself a particular mentor, and this particular mentor has a particular approach, and you and I are both familiar, and a lot of people are familiar. She's one of the top of the pyramid shaped industry, right? And at that point, things started to change, and it became less about all of these other things that had meant a lot to me, and it became mostly about money. And it was about how much money can I make. And when you're on that train of how much money you can make, and that's like the goalpost, and it's all about six figure months and eight figure years and blah blah blah, then suddenly some of the ethics start to go out the window. And I found myself getting clients through this connection I had, right? Of like my mentor's mentor. Suddenly a lot of people were finding me through that, and my business went bananas. Suddenly I'm doing six-figure months.
Wow.
Because people are finding me because they want to work with my mentor's mentor, but we can't afford to work with her, can't afford to work with my mentor, or don't want to. And so they come and work with me. So suddenly I'm in such high demand for coaching. I'm doing these six-figure months, but I'm finding that but they're wanting me to coach them in this particular way, and they're wanting to achieve these particular things. And I just kind of went, I'm in something here that I'm not sure I actually A, signed up for, or B, want to continue with. But certainly for a while I got very seduced, very swept up in it all, very much about the money. I bought myself a Chanel coat, blah, blah, blah. I bought myself a Mercedes. Like I did the whole thing because I was so immersed in this world. And now I understand how people end up in cults. Like truly, I'm like, smart people, big-hearted people do end up in cults. And I don't think people realize that. Like I'm an intelligent woman, but like I got swept up in something and it was very seductive. And at some point I went, yeah, something isn't right here. I feel like I've lost myself, and I made a pretty scary decision to exit the whole thing. It cost me a lot of money to exit the whole thing. And here I am now sort of healing through that and moving through that and moving on and living a very different life.
Wow. Wow. It's so good. So many things that you shared here. The nutshell of what we're hearing is like, okay, you started out as a resume writer. And then that moved into these different aspects of helping women in their careers. And then, hey, let's help other women be able to do this and make some money from home. And then the things keep escalating, which I have done myself, which everybody talks about themselves, that somehow you're like, oh shit, now I'm in this bigger girl boss coaching industry with all of the weird, shady magic, bigger numbers, weird stuff, clicks, money, money, money hungry stuff that goes on. And because I know a little bit of your story that you, well, you were saying you had 6-figure months, holy crap. And that now you're in a place where you've walked away from that. You felt like it wasn't right in many aspects, and you have had made drastic changes in your life and in your entrepreneurship because of that, which is
huge. I should be set for life, right? Like, people think if you were making in inverted commas, because they're not, like, that's not what's left over at the end of the month, right? But if you're making 6-figure months, I should be set up for life, right? I should be able to buy a house. Well, I can't, and I'm not, and that's not how it works, because the culture is spend it all because there's plenty more where that came from. Mm-hmm. I remember saying to my coach, I need to cut back on expenses. And she said, no, you don't. You just need to earn more money. And I'm like, man, this is such this overindulgence. This will never run out of resources. And at the same time, I'm very passionate about the environment and the climate and equity and diversity and like justice in the world. I care about all of that. I always have. And it just got to a point where I'm like, this isn't marrying up with this lifestyle that I'm being coached and encouraged to kind of lead, so that I have this epic social media aesthetic that everybody wants to aspire to, right? I rented a beachfront apartment I could work from so that I could have this, God, I'm just like, God, if I had have saved all that money, like, I spent a lot, man. I spent it on coaches that were $10,000 a month, because that was what you aspire to. You aspire to work your way up the pyramid. And I'm not calling it a pyramid scheme because everyone's like, it's not a pyramid scheme. I'm like, well, it is very, very pyramid shaped. And the way the economy is right now, it's really interesting, because if you look at how that works, any kind of business structure that is relatively pyramid shaped, is it relies upon this bottom layer constantly coming in, of newbies coming in who can pay those bottom rung coaches, who pay the next tier, the next tier, the next tier, and it all ends up with that person at the top, right? And it relies on, so that person at the top relies upon there being people on a much, much lower income and living a whole different life to be continually coming in and wanting to enter this field. Now, we're coming into potential recession, inflation, you and I in different countries, but there's a whole lot going on economically that they're the people who have to cut back on the luxuries, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these people at the top are not untouchable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a bit of a side rant, but you do lose touch with reality a bit. And I did 100% spend the lot. And then when I've immediately, like, pretty quickly just went, I'm not doing this anymore. Don't you worry. Some big tax bills came on in real quick, because you're not taught money management. No. You taught money mindset. You taught abundance and free spirit and don't worry about it, and feminine energy, and just go have an orgasm, right? Like, that.
Yep.
Don't worry about any of that. So I'm glad that I was in a position. I'm lucky that I was in a position to walk away. I have a partner who can earn good money and supports me. You know, we have some degree of an asset behind us. We have, I have other skills. I have other things that I can do. Mm-hmm. A parent who supports me, things like that. There are some people who are so far in that I see, I just know they want to walk away. Yep. I know they don't want to do it anymore, but they can't.
Yes.
It's like a gambler who is like, they've got everything on red. They cannot walk away at this point. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like,
yes. Yes.
And so much respect for people who end up in that position. I'm not judging them for it. My heart goes out to them, because they are a victim of an industry that is designed to make people separate from their intuition and their intelligence and their integrity, and just, you know, the whole thing, you get it. Like,
yeah,
just go with the energy. And, you know, it's like these mystery offers. It's like grooming people not to think through their purchasing.
Yes. Yes.
It's like, oh my God, this is not a $2 lucky dip, mate. This is tens of thousands of dollars. You're asking someone to literally gamble on your offer without even knowing what it is. We're teaching people not to use their discretion. And that is terrifying.
So, okay. So I want to hear all about, there's so much to talk about as far as when you were in that coaching and paying $10,000 for this or that, or I know you've been in like $40,000 masterminds and all that stuff. So I want to talk about that, but first of all, like, where are you kind of at, like, now? Like, as far as what are you up to day to day, or what does your life kind of look like now? Because we're saying, wow, you walked away from that. We're going to get into that. But I'm so curious, like, what are you up to now? What is your focus now?
Building a sense of self-worth outside of what I do. that's been a big part of it. And I know that you and I both saw some of Tyler J. McCall, isn't it? His stories recently, talking about exiting the industry. And he said something brilliant. Someone asked a brilliant question, and that was like, what's the healing you've had to do, or something like that. And he said, like, kind of finding my sense of self and my sense of worth outside of that whole thing, because it is so tied together. So that's probably day to day what I'm working on. But in terms of, I'm still making an income because I need to, because there's a whole bunch of fees and stuff involved in having, you know, winding up what I had set up and all that sort of stuff. Like, I need to make money. I'm about to have a baby in 6 weeks. So kind of having this almost forced hiatus, which is great, because I feel like it's going to create this beautiful delineation between chapters of my life. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, in terms of what it looks like, I'm helping my partner in his business, because his business is what's paying our bills at the moment. So I help him in his business. I also am doing some copywriting for $100 an hour when I used to charge $1,000.
Let me just clap for that. Seriously, like, what a beautiful thing and a wonderful number. Tangent, it is just hard to say,
know what
yeah.
to charge, right? Because yes. your view of what's normal, you get so disconnected from reality that your view of what is normal is so, like, skewed. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I can't charge $100 an hour. That's like nothing. Like, it felt, compared to what I used to charge, I'm like, I can't work for $100 an hour. And then I went, hang on a sec. The beautiful man that I live with gets up in the dark, gets in his car with all these tools, and goes off and builds things that people live in for about that an hour, right? For approximately that per hour, he leaves the house and does physical labor. He's got 30 years of experience, and that's why he charges. And I'm like, and I'm going to complain about sitting here on a laptop in my pajamas writing someone's bio. Like, Carly, grow up. I really have had to bring myself back down to earth. It's been very interesting. Yeah, because a lot of these people that are charging tens of thousands of dollars, they're paying $9 an hour for their admin stuff. Like, I'm just like, I can't. Like, the inequity of it, the injustice of it was just starting to make me sick. And, you know, with Black Lives Matter and all of that, I really amped up my social justice kind of activism part of my life. That's always been a part of my life. I could not be immersed in that and also be teaching, like, manifestation, you know, be the vibe and it'll come to you magically. Like, I couldn't marry it up. And I just wanted to contribute something tangible to the world. So I didn't used to do copywriting. I used to do, like, it was coaching I was doing for $1,000 an hour. It was $1,000 an hour to do a session with me just to talk to me. Now people message me and ask for me for advice on something. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to give that to you as part of my contribution of being a member of a community. Like, I'm, ask me a question, I'll answer it. Like, and it's not going to come with a sales pitch at the end. So there's been this kind of, real shift in the way that I think about how I work in the world. And it's funny when you look at your life and you don't have this always wanting more, dreaming bigger, desiring more, you know, it's not enough what I have, I want more and more. Suddenly, like, I'm happy with my thrift shop clothes and I'm happy to go to the market and get my, you know, the veggies that are on season. And, you know, it's just, I'm living a different life. And because of that, there's not this constant need to feed the machine that is my lifestyle. You know, we live in a beautiful home. We rent it. We hope to buy. We're not in a position to yet. That's certainly something we want to get to. But I'm just in this place of giving in a way that feels tangible and meaningful, and contributing in a way that feels like I'm not just propping up an industry that is actually in many ways doing a lot of harm. Look, I don't think, I'm a bit like you. I don't feel a lot of shame. I didn't do a lot of the unethical stuff that I saw. But I look back and some of the stuff I wrote in posts, I was just a bit like, oh, cringe. Like, I look back and cringe a little bit at times. But I'm glad that I didn't cross some lines that I'm seeing people cross, and I'm seeing people having to really coach themselves or be coached out of their conscience.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I've actually heard that from a lot of people. Some people are like, wow, I did things that I wasn't okay with to be making so much money. Slash, some of the best things that people have told me is they've said, I'm so happy that I didn't have success, because I actually kept my conscience and I actually kept my values. And I realized that I couldn't have success because I was being taught to do things that were against my values and morals and my whole inner being, you know? So that is a huge one as far as like what you're talking about sometimes for what it takes to make a ton of money. But okay, let's go back to how long ago was this that you were making six figures a month?
Oh gosh, it would have been like end of 2020, start of 2021.
Okay.
Was when it was kind of at its peak. Mm-hmm. Now I was spending most of it, like, as I said, but cause that's really the culture of it. But what I was doing was mostly like selling big. So I had a coaching package at the time. My coaching prices went up massively and it was $5,000 for the first month. Mm-hmm. And now I'm one of the people who stuck with, for a little bit of time, I shifted to charging in USD. I am in Australia and a lot of Australian coaches charge in USD because it's like higher, the exchange rate, like it goes up. But they report their income in Aussie dollars. So they're charging 10,000 US for this and that, but it's like, I've made $1 million. Well, you've made $1 million Aussie dollars, which is very different to US, and you're talking to a predominantly US audience. So you're kind mm-hmm. of lying to them. So there's a little bit of that that goes on now. So I just wanted to clarify that for a very short time when I launched my book in the US, I shifted to US dollars, but I came back to Aussie dollars because that's what I'm living my life in Australian dollars over here. So that's what I'm going to charge. And then I would just put in brackets roughly what the USD was so that people in the US knew. But anyway, what happened? I was charging $5,000 for the first month and $3,000 for every month after that. And people would pay it because it was many times more than that to work with my coach or her coach. And most of the people that were coming to me at that point wanted to work with those people and were working with me because they knew I had proximity to power.
Yes. You're right? In the click. You're in the inner circle.
I was in, right? I was like tier two cult. So,
and let me just say, because I know some of what you've shared, that like, she really was in the inner circle.
Yeah,
like you really were, you know, without saying more, you were really up there mixing in masterminds with some of the biggest names in the industry. So I just think that's like, holy shit. And such a unique experience that you were up in there.
Well, a lot of pedestals came crashing down mm-hmm. and these people that I had seen as gurus, I realized were very much just human. And that was a really cool thing because I can walk away from it going, you guys, none of you guys are above me in any way. The hierarchy has been well and truly smashed to smithereens. And because of that, I felt comfortable to actually go to some of those people who I had on pedestals, who I worshipped for a long time. And I was like, I want my money back for these particular programs that I bought where you did not deliver.
Mm-hmm.
If I bought a car and the description and what was delivered were that different, I would be saying, I want my money back for this car, right? Mm-hmm. And what I invested with you was in excess of what I would have paid for a car. So let's talk about that. And let me tell you, some of the like borderline emotional abuse that came back from those requests, I've not seen a cent. You wow. cannot get these people to part with their money. Their money is so valuable to them. It is so entrenched. You just can't. So anyway, I could go down the legal avenue because I'm absolutely entitled to them, but I'm about to have a baby and I'm just not sure I really want to do
that. Yeah. That's something that I know you have kind of supported people here and there and people who are wanting a refund and you're like, hey, try saying this or try looking at this. I love that. And it is so messed up because these people are supposed to be the abundance teachers. They're the same people who are saying they make like millions in 1 second. Who will not part with a freaking dollar, who will not listen to a single critique, and who are the least abundant, like you were saying this in your stories the other day. I'm like, that's the least abundant person I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. And besides, and then even like what you're talking about is like huge programs that you've joined or the ways that you worked with people, and they literally didn't deliver, like maybe, for example, didn't run the calls they said they were going to or something like that. And it's like, no, this isn't okay. If there is supposed to be tires on my car and you didn't put the tires, and it's not limited thinking to say, oh, hi, I would like the tires you told me. It's like, you're just supposed to, you know, shut up and be high vibe and do whatever they say. And it is very, very culty in that sense. It obviously pisses me off.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And as those, like, as I sort of started to see, I'm like, you are not who I've shaped you up to be in my mind. That's not what's happening here. I started to, just kind of walk away. And all of those, bubbles were kind of burst in my mind. And I guess it was a shame, but also a really good thing because I just started to see that no one's above anybody else. And a lot of the people that have this success, they have it because they were one of the first ones, right? And they're trying to teach everyone else, this is how you do it. And it's like, no, it's how you did it 10 years ago, mate, when there was hardly anyone else doing it. So people weren't, they hadn't cottoned on yet. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it just, yeah, that feels a bit unethical to me. And when people are sort of, you know, calling themselves millionaires when they actually don't have any assets at all, they don't have any wealth at all, they've just turned over $1 million in a year, but we know they're paying $350,000 to their coach, we know they're paying $100,000 to one of their staff members, we know they're paying, you know, so much to manage this lifestyle so they can keep it going. What's left? There's no way. Like, take tax off that and PayPal fees, I can't see there being a whole lot left. So some of that stuff where it's a little bit, you know, even in network marketing, there are these rules about people making claims about their income and some of those things, but there's not that in the field I was operating in. And because of that, I was, look, I ran out of people to look up to. That's the way that I describe it. I ran out of people to go, I want to be like her, because I worked with some of those people. I paid them a lot of money and I just went, I do not want to be like her. That's not what I want. And so I started looking more to people like Brené Brown and Liz Gilbert and, you know, people who are, you know, authors and who aren't banging on about money and manifestation and about how they're like the frigging chosen ones that the universe delivers messages to. And I just started to question a whole lot of that. And I'm so glad that I did. And then I'm out. I think I did good work. I'm proud of what I did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I was doing those big numbers, it was just all that changed was my prices went up. I got a few more clients. I was selling a lot of courses. I was charging like $700 for courses and stuff like that. And now I look at like things like, you know, people charging thousands of dollars for courses. And I'm like, honestly, I learn more from a book on my shelf than what I've learned in any course anyone's ever created. Like, just go to the library, it's free, read some books, so much good stuff in there around personal development and growth and spiritual stuff, whatever you want to learn about, read the books that these people read. They're just putting it with a beautiful influencer aesthetic and suddenly it's worth $10,000 instead of $10 to buy the book on Amazon.
Yeah, go to the library, go to Amazon. Okay,
yeah.
So when you were making so much money, you were doing coaching and you were selling your courses and you're like, yeah, it was good work and my prices were okay. I had to keep upping them in order to make more. That's just what they tell you to do. And this is something that Tyler was talking about in his stories. So to catch people up, Tyler J. McCall, that is his Instagram name, is Tyler J. McCall. And he has walked away from the industry. And he was actually one of my main teachers. He is how I really got into online marketing. And I have a lot of love and respect for him. But in a nutshell, he was sharing on his Instagram stories that it's gotten so saturated. The industry has gotten so saturated that the margins have to be so, the pricing has to be so high to keep your profit margins going. You can't just do like, $1,500 for coaching or something, or a couple hundred dollar program. You can, but you're not going to hit those numbers of that kind of freedom, dream, wow, all of this stuff that they're telling you, unless you are exploiting people. Like, it is very hard to have that kind of financial dream success that they're telling people without totally burning out or doing stuff that's against your values or just charging sky high at this point, which a lot of them are doing.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is like, this whole field is supposed to be about helping people. Legitimately, that's what I wanted to be doing. I believe that's what I was doing. That's what I wanted to keep doing, was to be helping people. But the thing is, when you're charging $5,000 a month, that's where I got to. That's the highest it got to for me. When you're charging that, you're only helping the people who need it the least. And when you look at the inequity in the world and, you know, the rich and the poor and, you know, when you really look at the spread of wealth around the world, the people who are doing really great, who can genuinely really help people, like, why only deliver it to the elite? Like, why only deliver it to the people who are kind of probably doing okay anyway? Because there are so many people who are not. And there's this idea that, like, if you make a lot of money, you can give a lot of money. And that's not what I see. It's not what I saw. And I remember going like, I want to be giving money. And I remember there was this, I had this friend who runs this charity. She said, we need $1,500. We need to raise $1,500 to do a particular thing, whatever it was. And I remember it felt like this, I don't know, big thing. And I gave the $1,500 and I'd had $100,000 a month. And I'm like, Carly, that's about 1% of what you've turned over this month. I would have thought, like, I had a moment with myself, like, I would have thought you'd be giving away a lot more of this, and that giving away $1,500 shouldn't feel like a big deal. When you just spent $4,000 on designer clothes, a $1,500 charity donation shouldn't feel like a big deal. And it happened recently. I saw this one massive coach who makes millions and millions and millions celebrating that she'd bought this very expensive Mother's Day gift for her mum, and like thousands, thousands of dollars. And I thought to myself, I'd been reading about like how many mothers were like living in their cars with their kids, because we have a massive housing crisis here in Australia. Yeah. I don't know what it's like where you are. Massive housing crisis. So many people living in their cars, mothers and children. And I'm like, how many mothers could you have housed? How many mothers could you have fed? How many mothers could you have helped instead of buying this shiny thing, this little shiny thing, so you can do a post about it? Do you know what I mean? Like, it just started
Chanel
to get a bit
shit better. Or who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Don't I was care. Just like, I am not impressed by your luxurious lifestyle. I don't care. Like, I had this, I drove a Kia Carnival. I loved it. It was this like mum soccer van when I had my first two kids, and I loved it so much. And at some point I was like, this car does not match up with who I am, right? And I sold it and I bought $160,000 Mercedes. And do you know how much I just stressed about my kids scratching the damn thing? It was costing me thousands of dollars a month in repayments. And I got a dog and my dog was getting in and scratching the leather seats and all of that. And I'm like, I have to get rid of this car. I cannot relax in this car. I cannot, like, my kids go past on their bikes. I'm like, and I'm like, do you know how much I should have just kept that? I'd own it by now. I had finance on it. I should have just kept that car, because now I've had to go buy another one similar, because now I've got, I bought a ute, but that's not big enough because this third baby is a surprise. Now I've got to go back to a market. And I'm like, Carly, God, you thought the life you had wasn't good enough. You thought you had to rise up and be the next level version of you. And that meant a particular car and particular clothes. And it just makes me want to weep, because like, that's not it. That's just, it's just not it. And I get a bit speechless and ragey.
Yeah, you and me both. So I think there's like so many amazing aspects of your experience. People share their stories to me, or they will DM me some wild stuff that they've experienced. And yeah, I think that your story and your experience is so good because it's myth busting a lot of what these teachers are sharing, right? Yeah. So you made so much money and it didn't work out, and it's not sustainable. And it's not, you know, you're making so much money because you're spending so much too in order to actually keep it going. Slash, yeah, you've been up there like in the it circle and seeing that these people are just people. They're just freaking people, yeah, who are flawed, and there's no guru. There's no one who's above anyone. There's no one who has this freaking secret answer. No. And then you're also someone who has been able to, you know, walk away from this or change your life drastically and find a different way of supporting people and stuff. But I guess my point was, you know, people will message me some stuff of, I thought that I just needed to get to this level and then I could chill. I thought that I just needed to buy this car and then it would be good, right? I thought that I just needed to join this mastermind and then I would be fine. Like, this constant attainment and hustle will one day stop, and it doesn't. It doesn't. And even when you're up in it, like you were, you're like, well, this isn't working. This isn't good. This isn't all that they make it to be.
And remember, all these big income claims, a lot of that is pay in fulls for work not yet delivered. So there's a coach that I know of who was recently like, I just had a six-figure weekend. And I'm like, okay, well, based on what I know of your offerings, that's probably two people paying in full for a year of coaching with you. Great. So you now are indebted to that person for a year of your life. And there's a bunch of people who have done painfuls in order for you to just have your, you know, however many figure year, blah, blah, blah. So to me, that is not freedom. The fact that I was able to walk away and I could just stop coaching the people I was coaching, or some of them I, you know, went, let's do another month or whatever. I thought they kind of, you know, whatever was going to work in those situations, but I was not indebted to anyone. That's not freedom to me. That's not abundance to me. How do you know that in the next year of your life, you're not going to, I don't know, have a baby, have a death in the family. You don't even like coaching this person anymore. This person decides you're coaching your shit and wants their money back. Like, and that money spent, babe, like, you know, so, and I have these no refund policies, just which wouldn't fly in any other industry, in any other type of sales situation. So it just feels like these, it's just a bit deceiving, you know, that it's this freedom lifestyle. And for me, if I had, if I was in a six-figure salary job and I showed up on day one and they went, okay, here's your year's pay, I'm going to give it all to you now, and you now have to show up every day for the rest of the year. And if we're not happy with you, we're potentially going to ask you to pay it back, you know? Mm-hmm. And oh, it just feels, I don't know, it doesn't feel like freedom to me at all. I've seen some of the people who make the most money go through massive tragedies in their life, and like a week later they're launching something. And I'm like, what?
How is that freedom?
It's not a judgment thing. It's just like, man, is your cash flow situation so full on that you have to be launching right now?
Well, and there was a coach that is very easy, that they give great examples for critique, I will say. There is a coach who recently was sharing about having health issues, and that they'd been struggling with health issues for like a year or the past 6 months or something like that. And how it was so hard to work and so hard to do all these things. And yet at the same time, they had been marketing like, come into my container and here we go. And and this person was also saying, I was sick, but I still made a million and this stuff. So I was like, that does not sound like freedom at all. It sounds like you have the worst boss yourself ever. And what in the world are we promoting this? You know, it's absolute money worship and going after the money no matter what, and then glamorizing all that. Just doesn't make any sense. And so they're showing all the shiny stuff and not actually saying behind the scenes as to what it's really like.
Yeah, any of the like negative stuff that they ever share is very like performative. It's very like, I'm going to cry because, you know, I'm going through something, blah, blah, blah. But like now, and only to have the juxtaposition in my life now of having like building this social media following and building an online brand. And now being like, I don't care. I no longer care about the size of my following. I no longer care about having to keep up this facade. And I didn't realize it was a facade at the time because it's the very water I was swimming in. But now I'm like, I can get on and be like, oh God, I was such a shit mom today. Or, oh my God, this shit thing is going on in my life. And I can actually share, if I choose to, obviously I don't have to, but if I choose to share it, it's like I just have this freedom to talk about whatever I want to talk about. If I want to get on and rage about the injustice of, you know, the way we treat Indigenous people in our country or any of that, I don't have to be like, this is low vibe. People are going to unfollow. I'm like, unfollow if you want to. I'm going to talk about this because it's what's coming out of my mouth. It's what's coming out of my heart right now.
Hell and yeah.
I feel so much more free. And also that I can go, I'm taking a week off social media. I'm taking a month off social media. I'm going to turn my phone off for a month. I can do that if I want.
Yeah.
Oh, freedom. That is freedom.
They can't stop because A, they're money hungry. And B, you better believe their coach is telling them, get your ass out there, launch, honey, go make more because you got to pay me too. Like they don't ever honor someone to actually rest or not focus on making money. I mean, it's
you're not allowed out of your contract, and they pride themselves on holding people accountable to their contract. Like no matter if that person's had a death in the family, their husband's been deployed, you know, they're facing financial hardship. When you're like, electricity company is more generous to you when you call up and say I'm experiencing financial hardship than the coach who supposedly really cares about you and literally says that they love you all over the internet, but they won't let you out of your contract, but your electricity company will, or they'll give you a discount or whatever, but your coach won't. Like that's really saying something.
You know what I mean? Your life coach. Like your business coach, yes, is the worst. Seriously, it's so messed up. And then it's just preached as like be high vibe and charge your worth and all this other very weird twisted stuff.
Yeah, my worth has nothing to do with my work. That's the thing. That's what I have to say. And it just gets so entangled. And I think that's why someone will, you know, go through a massive tragedy in their life and then launch a few days later, like launch a course or whatever, because it's almost like it's not that they're, it may not be that they desperately need the money, but it may be that their sense of self and their sense of stability within themselves as a human being is so tied up in how they make money. Like, I mean, and that's capitalism, isn't it? Right. Like you can go so deep with this stuff.
That
is how, and I'm just like, that's not what I want. I want my sense of self-worth to just be something that is completely standalone. And it's not tied to what I do or what I sell or how many people buy it or how many likes I get on a post.
So you were mentioning something before about one of the things that didn't sit well with you. I want to ask you about the kind of wake-up calls or red flags or things that made you go, fuck this. And one of the things you mentioned was around being an activist and having maybe people be silent about, you know, racism or different things that were going on in the world. So tell me a little bit more about the things that helped you like wake up or feel like angry about this isn't going to work for me.
Do you remember the day there was that video going viral of people hanging onto a plane in Afghanistan as the planes were leaving when America was pulling out, and people were hanging onto planes and falling off to their death? And I remember, I think a lot of us remember that moment when and seeing that. And that was in my feed because I follow a lot of news outlets that I really trust. And the next post in my feed was a previous money coach I had worked with standing at the bottom of the Eiffel Tower in Chanel eating caviar, celebrating her life. And I was just like, it's like the weight of the injustice, the inequity in the world just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was just like, I don't know what to do with this. So there were kind of a few moments like this where it was just this contrast. I did some learning. I started reading some books about racism and capitalism and all of these different things. And I decided to see how these systems all tie together and how the coaching industry, so much of it is just capitalism in a cute hat, right? We all know about the hat. You know, if someone's wearing a hat inside in a video, they're probably a life coach. Or they're you doing satire of life coaching.
Which I have that hat because I actually had it. So I'm you know, I'm just as guilty. I was like, okay, this is cute. No, I had that hat because I had it. But anyways, yeah. So you're like waking up to these injustices or feeling like, oh my gosh, there's so much going on in the world that's not being presented or addressed by these girl boss influencers and this bullshit business stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't think that just everybody has to weigh in on every issue. I'm not like, you know, you must speak on this topic, but like if you, I do believe that having a platform does come with some degree of responsibility because you have power, you know, and we need the people with power in the world to be doing good with it, not to just be using it to make more fucking money.
Yeah.
it just, that was frustrating. But I also, you know, discovered the work of some amazing people like Rachel K. Albers. You know, she does this beautiful like history deep dives into the history of like snake oil and all these different like scams over time. And she sort of draws the parallels between that and modern day and what goes on now. And, oh God, it was just so beautifully eye-opening. You know, the whole Rachel Hollis scandal was really big for me because some people might remember she did this TikTok where she was all like, I've worked really hard to get where I am. And she's talking about this woman who cleans her toilets. And it was so elitist and classist and just gross, right? And, but the first time I watched it, I didn't get what was wrong with it. I was like, what's everyone so mad about? She's just in wild mode. And for those who've read my book, you'll know what that's about. But like, I was just like, she's just having a rant. Cool. Okay. And then I started reading the comments and I watched this live stream between Trudy LeBron, who is an anti-racism activist and educator, and Rachel K. Albers. And they were having this conversation about what was wrong with it. And I was like, fuck. Oh, I see, you know? And so I just started to see this. I just started to see what was wrong with it and tie all these little strings together. And I was just like, okay, so I'm a great writer. I'm a passionate person. I'm a deep thinker. I'm able to create well on social media. Me just helping people who already have a lot get even more is an enormous waste of my talent. I'm going to apply my talent in other ways. And if that means I don't get to wear red bottom shoes, that's fine with me. Mm-hmm. If that means I don't get to drive a Mercedes, that's fine with me, because God, I sleep well at night, you know? And well, I don't, because I have two kids that wake up, but like metaphorically I do. So, and I just feel like I'm using the time that I have on this planet in more contributory ways. Mm-hmm. And it probably sounds a bit self-righteous, but it's kind of just the chapter that I'm in right now of just immersing so much in that and embracing that so much that maybe I'm going to come off a bit self-righteous. And I'm kind of okay with that at this point, you know, because it's like I'm in the middle of this big swing. Let me have my big swing. I might be irritating with all my activism stuff. And, you know, and there are a lot of people who probably have to mute me now and again. But like, it's just the phase that I'm in, and I'm not going to apologize for it because I'm trying to do something good here.
Heck yeah. And I mean, that's what made me follow you. I was like, I am so here for this. I'm so glad she's saying these things so the right people will hear it and yada, yada, yada. But one of the big things that you mentioned that I think really hit home for me and was a wake up call for me too, that my work or other coaches' work wasn't accessible to everyone. Like you're saying, they're charging these premium rates and only working with elite people and basically doing life coaching for people who probably need it the least. Or why are you only working with business owners who are already making 100K a month? Like, it should be accessible. I don't have your work be accessible to all. People who I was looking up to were only supporting like the elite. And everyone's like, oh, your package is low at 3,000 a month or something like that. and you should really go to 5K. Why not 10K, all this stuff? And it really made me wake up that having this work be accessible is super important. And I want to learn from people who are doing that as well. And that that is not what the coaching and online business industry teaches people.
Yeah, especially when like what they're teaching, they've mostly gotten from books that you could, as I said earlier, that you could buy for $10, right?
Yeah.
So there is one of the biggest coaches that we both know. I happen to know, because I was so far in behind the scenes, that her business was launched off what she learned in a book. And the book is called The Queen's Code by Alison Armstrong. She read the book and she started, I believe this is what I've been told, that she started coaching based on what was in that book. She would coach people because she really immersed in it. She really used it in her life and it really made sense to her. And so this is the thing, is that I've never heard her credit that woman before. I've never heard her credit Alison. And the reason for that, I believe, this is my hypothesis, it is my opinion, don't come at me with a lawsuit. My belief, my assumption is that is because we're not supposed to think it's come from somewhere. We're supposed to think it's been divinely downloaded.
Right.
But the universe gave her this wisdom.
Right.
It didn't come from a book that you can buy for $15 online. It didn't come from there. It's coming from the universe, right?
Yeah.
Whereas actually most of what we see any coaches talking about is either you can trace it back to A Course in Miracles or Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or, you know, 10 books. I give you 10 books and basically that's where it's all coming from.
Yeah.
Totally. And I know this because I did a post, because I asked them all. I did a post when I was launching my book and I asked them all their top three books that influenced their work. I'll share the post with you if you want. And I'm like, this is so interesting. I probably could just read all these books.
Yeah, totally.
And go straight to the source.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, read The Queen's Code if you want to read The Queen's Code. There's beautiful stuff in it. And it's not to say that that person hasn't added to that work and, you know, applied it in their life. I'm not saying their work doesn't have any value. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, I think that some of those people, I would love to see them credit some of the people that have influenced.
Yes, there's absolutely such a energy of hide your resources, hide where you've learned from. I mean, because we know in the coaching game, they do the leapfrog and just try and hop up to that coach. Then there's this feeling of like, okay, well, I just need to go work with that person since that's who helped them get here. But B, it's this like breadcrumbing of keeping your stuff more elite and secret, and then thinking, oh, of course, the transition just came to that person. You know, I remember I joined this woman's community who I look up to, and I think she's doing great work. Evelyn Weiss. She's German, maybe. And okay. she did a ton of like $12,000 packages working privately, and then was basically felt like she, you know, spent that money for nothing and became very anti-high ticket and anti-guru. And long story short, I was in her free Facebook group and she was like answering questions. Like people were like, oh, what's your favorite book on marketing? And she's like, oh, this one. Or, oh, what do you use to host your courses? And she's like, oh, Thinkific. And I was like, I haven't seen this in a really long time. Like, why have I not seen this? That's actually wild, because you're supposed to have this information be secret and kept. And I just can't stand that stuff. So
yeah. Yeah. There's this mystery about it. Right. And like, you know, now it's coming out, these mystery offers, and there's all this, it all just has to be very mysterious, mm-hmm. because that makes it kind of sexy. And yeah, I'm just like, what if you've reached a point where you don't actually need to keep making that kind of money? What if you actually just, I don't know, started helping people for free?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't need any more, this is the thing. And when you look at like the world and how so many people live, like we do have enough to feed everybody. There shouldn't be people starving. There is enough in the world, but there's not enough for us to have billionaires. There's not enough for people to be flying private jets. There's not enough for everyone to have their own island. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it can't, they act like, I want to help everybody have what I have. Well, it's actually not possible.
No. Yeah.
You can't support that.
No.
And it's getting to a point where we cannot continue to turn a blind eye to what's going on with the climate and the planet and the inequity in the world. We just can't keep turning a blind eye to it. But in order to keep doing that work, to operate in that field, you have to turn a blind eye to it. You have to unfollow every news outlet. You can't, that's why so many people have unfollowed me, because I'm going to talk about it. You can't hide from it. I'm going to talk about what's going on in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Because like it matters to me, and nothing changes if everybody just turns a blind eye because they need to be high vibe and help entitled rich white women make even mm-hmm. more money so they can buy even more expensive shoes or some shit,
you know? I mean, and seriously, if you think about it, how could everyone be millionaires and sit in their bathtub? How would the world run? How would it work? Who would teach your children? Who would take the trash away? Who would be chopping a tree down? Just anything. And those are all fantastic roles in the community that we need. But at the end of the day, literally everybody can't just be a millionaire in the bathtub. No. And they're spewing a fake dream. But then also our society would crumble, our world, like lots of different ways. It's not something that you can just turn a blind eye to. What they're teaching, a fantasy that isn't attainable.
Well, wealth is relative, right? So to a lot of people, I, who can put food on the table every week and can keep a roof over my head and we don't have to worry about all of that, to some people, to most of the world, I am insanely rich.
Yeah.
Even though I don't have a whole lot of money in the bank, all that sort of stuff. And to some people, you know, someone else who has, you know, I don't know, what might seem to us very little, but then there's someone else in the world who lives on a dollar a day who's like, man, they are so super rich. Like everything's relative. So in order to be rich, in order to have wealth, which is what they're all selling, someone needs to have less than you or else it's not wealth. If everyone had the same, richness and wealth doesn't really exist anymore. So it relies upon it relies upon there being other people who have less than you. And that just makes me sad. That's not, you're not changing, don't pat yourself on the back and tell me you're changing the world. That's not, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. You're just perpetuating something that's actually really kind of harmful, you know. And you touched on something interesting just before, which I know Rachel Kayalpas has talked about, which you said about doing the Lord's work. Like so much of this stuff comes from prosperity gospel. And when I started to learn about that, I was like, oh, this stuff isn't even original.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So for those who don't know, do you want to give a tidbit on prosperity gospel in your eyes?
Well, look,
a loose tidbit.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it. I'm going to throw to go, like, maybe we could put a link in the notes to Rachel, yeah, because she just explains things so beautifully well. I wasn't raised in any kind of religious kind of culture. But it's kind of this idea that, you know, God wants you to have money. And if you're a good girl and do the right things, then, yes, then it's almost like God is like Santa Claus in the sky. And yes, it's like, if you're a good girl, you get presents. You get to have the things that you want. If you're high vibe enough, if you have enough orgasms or something. Yes. Now there's like this sex thing tied into it lately. Yes. It's like if you do the right
thing. Orgasmic prosperity gospel.
Yes. If you spend the money with the people and you, you know, donate to the tin that goes around or whatever it is, then you get to have, yeah, good things in life. And that's just really messed up when you think, yeah, about it. It's patriarchal, you know, like the big sky daddy universe, you know, some people use the word universe. If I do the right thing, the universe gives me what I want. Like, it just feels very, and for someone, mm-hmm, like me, has daddy issues, in inverted commas, like I had a dad who did let me down and did forget to pick me up from school and all that sort of stuff. I've got stuff around like having a man show up for me in my life and provide for me. Mm-hmm. So this idea that the universe was like this masculine energy, if I would just be feminine enough, the masculine would give me everything I ever wanted, the universe would provide. Now I look back, I'm like, that's kind of messed up, really. And it kind of felt like giving my power away to something invisible in the sky feels a little bit like Santa Claus to me.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's not actually empowering when you think about it. It's a lovely idea and it feels good, but it doesn't make it real or right. And why isn't the universe providing for the millions of people who are literally starving and dying?
Who are good people. Seriously, they're just not pleasing the daddy god or something.
Yeah, they're not doing their morning journaling. They're not doing their salute to the sun in the morning and having their green smoothie. So that must be why.
They didn't do their affirmations. So I had a pretty solid stint for a couple years in evangelical Christianity. And I actually worked on in children's ministry for a hot second. And long story short, let me just tell you, it is very similar as far as if you do this kind of thing and if you're doing things right and if you're like in line with God, then you will be blessed and you will be prosperous. And it's the exact same shit when they're telling people you need to be high vibe, you need to be thinking only positive, you need to be hanging around only positive things, doing your manifestations and then showing up high vibe in your business and the way that you're launching and opening your yoni, and then you will be blessed from the sky. And it's the exact same, it's just some weird prosperity gospel stuff. So we'll have to talk about prosperity gospel faux show another time, because I'm like, do you know that this is the same stuff that's taught in really messed up Christianity circles or other prosperity gospel circles? Like, do you, just checking. Yeah. But when you are like, okay, so looking back, I had this wild business, I had this success and I'm not a part of it anymore. I know there's so many trails to go down, but any other really huge things that come to mind as far as this is why I am not a part of that anymore?
Yeah. So, you know how they say, you know, if you're the most successful person in the room or the smartest person in the room, you need to be in a different room. So I kept paying more and more amounts of money to be in higher level, again, inverted commas, higher level masterminds, where I could hang out with people who were making as much or more money than me, and that I could hang out with these super high vibe, amazing people, and it was going to be so inspiring. They're going to be so high vibe. So I'm in this mastermind and I thought I was going to make my new, you know, lifelong best friends and all that. And I was going to travel the world to go visit them or whatever. And, but what I found were people that were just so goddamn entitled that they would come and complain about their clients coming to them with stuff that wasn't high vibe. So when they had clients coming to them being like, I'm feeling really down on myself. I'm not making enough money. I don't know how I'm going to make my next payment to you. And they're coming into the mastermind I'm in and being like, I'm just so sick of clients coming to me complaining about this stuff. They just need to be doing the work. And I'm just like,
wow,
indeed. Like, this person is paying a lot of money for you to be their support person, for you to support them through these moments. And what I know in my work, I'm like, your client is in bear mode right now. Your client needs this and this from you right now, but instead they're getting like, you just need to go and journal this out and you just need to get back in your power. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, this isn't a bunch of high vibe, amazing, incredible, inspiring people. This is a bunch of entitled, like sometimes a-holes. And I'm just like, this isn't something I want to be a part of. This isn't a club I want to hang out in. This is not about helping people. This is about how much money you can make with doing the least amount of work possible. And that they shouldn't even really be coming and asking you, P.S., you're in here complaining about them complaining, by the way. Like the irony was kind of interesting.
No different. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm just like, this is not like the work that I was like doing in my actual kind of research, because I was also looking to people like, again, Brené Brown, Liz Gilbert, people who like spend years exploring a topic and then put it in a book. That kind of thing. That work I was doing around my work, around motivational intelligence and energy patterns and all that sort of stuff. I couldn't know what I knew and also sit in that room, that online room, and go like, oh yeah, poor you. No, I wanted to be like, this is disgraceful. And, you know, people talk a lot about trauma awareness. Mm-hmm. Well, the more I learned about the trauma that is like systemic trauma based on capitalism and all of that, I was just like, I thought people didn't, I was like, I don't need a trauma-informed coach because I don't have any trauma. And actually, like, of course I do. We all do. But also when someone's making content that is reaching everybody, you know, that is out there in the kind of, you know, common realm, I'm like, there is a responsibility to understand the damage your content might do. And it's not that hard to learn a bit about trauma. You know, read some Gabor Mate. You don't have to go to a court. You don't have to necessarily do a certification. But, like, care enough to put the money book down and pick up a psychology book or a trauma book. Or, you know, there's so much great stuff out there that I was interested to learn about, partly because I have a daughter who is neurodivergent. So I was learning so much because of her. I was learning so much about the brain and so much about neurodiversity and all of these things. And I'm going, oh my God, this industry is really preying on neurodivergent people. Jesus. I see how I got roped into paying this, and this, and signing up for this, and this, because I too am neurodivergent, that I figured out through my daughter's diagnosis journey. So I was reading all this stuff. I wasn't just reading books about how to make more money. I was reading all these other things, and it just wasn't marrying up, and it was making me feel really disappointed about what I was seeing. So it was a number of things, and I just went, I don't think I can do this anymore. But that was really scary. And there are so many people in my inbox going, I don't think I can do this anymore, but I don't know how to exit this. Mm-hmm. This is my whole life. It's my whole community. It's my whole network. It's my income. It's my livelihood. Who am I without it? Mm-hmm. And it is big, and I'm not going to play it down like it's not big. Mm-hmm. It is. And that's why I'm talking about this with you now, because I think that people, and there's stuff behind the scenes that I haven't shared, there's components that I'm still in the middle of, like the legalities of some things and all of that, that I'm still in the middle of, that I might share one day, but it is big, and you don't have to do it alone. And there are people like you and me and other people that are talking about it. And my inbox is open. If someone wants to talk, I'm here, and I'm not going to send you a PayPal link. You know?
And that's the thing that keeps me going on this account and having these kind of conversations, because the amount of messages that we get of people who relate or who are in the thick of it and don't really know where to turn or like what's going on, it's a lot. A lot of people are in that place. What would you kind of say to people who are starting to question the industry or feeling like their stuff is not aligned anymore? What is your kind of message to them, if you could say anything?
What would I say to those people? Like, trust your instincts and your intuition, and you may well have been very programmed out of those things. And a lot of people say that they're teaching people to tap into their intuition, when actually what they're doing is the exact opposite of that. It's not one of those things that I can sum up in a cute little packagey line, but just like, find people who are talking about it. If they're here, they already have done that to a degree. But your instincts are rarely, as someone who had a cheating husband for 18 months, I know when they say your instincts are rarely wrong. If there's something about it that just doesn't feel right, it's no good just going to the person you're paying and going, tell me that I'm a good person, tell me that I'm doing good work, because they rely on you continuing to do this thing so that you can keep paying them. And yeah, just find someone you can talk to. If you're really questioning things, find someone that you can talk to and look to, and know that it will be a bit of a roller coaster. You'll go through moments of, no, this is fine, or moments of like, oh my God, what do I do? And there will be a grieving process. And what, do you know what's helped me? Learning about cults and learning about people leaving cults, because it is a little bit like that. So, for instance, I watched a series called The Vow, and watching...
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's good. Watching these people go through this process of realizing that this personal development group they were in was actually a cult. And it's a whole series, and it's really interesting. And it was people from like right up the top within the cult. And they pulled other people out of it, and they ended up, this cult leader is now in jail. Nexium was the name of the cult. This cult leader is now in jail. That is a real thing that happens to people who exploit and take advantage of vulnerable people. There are some houses of cards in the coaching industry that I think will tumble. And I will be interested to see what happens. And it's a shame, because there are good people caught up in shitty stuff. But anyway, watching The Vow and learning and listening to some podcasts on cults and stuff has been really interesting, because it helped me to understand the psychology of trying to disentangle from something that is so entrenched.
Oh. So I'm so happy that we could talk today. I know that we could like talk forever and ever, and there's like so many rabbit holes to go down further. In our time today, is there any little important tidbit or something else you'd like to say to the people who are listening to share about your story? Any little last word that's on your mind?
Look, I think I've got a feeling we'll end up talking again, because there's so many things that I want to say, and I don't necessarily want to like just have my social media be all about ranting about the coaching industry. Like, I love that you've kind of like created this beautiful hub for that. There is life after coaching. There is life on the other side of it. And it gets to be really kind of beautiful, and certainly imperfect, but beautiful in that imperfection.
I think that's great, because, you know, a lot of people are like, I can't even envision what it would be like on the other side. And it does get to be good on the other side, and you'll get to hop into whatever's next for you and however that looks for you. Like, you know, you and me both are someone who are like, life is so much better on the other side. I'm so much happier. It was quite a journey, but I'm so happy that I went on it. And I honestly didn't really have a choice. It's not like I could just ignore that tap on my shoulder that turned into something bigger, you know. And I know we'll talk again more. And I am excited to talk about what can we do as far as if you are trying to offer a service in any kind of way, right? You're offering your copywriting maybe, or whatever people might be up to who are doing good work, to have that conversation of what does grounded business look like? What does grounded financial stuff look like? What does ethical marketing look like? What's the difference between commerce and then capitalism, and trying to just get every penny you can off of someone? There's definitely a huge conversation, but I'm so grateful for everything you shared. Like I said, you've been in a place that a lot of people are aspiring to, and you've been in a place where a lot of people are paying a ton of money to get to that dream place. And yet you've learned a lot of lessons and found it wasn't attainable, and it wasn't the magic dream and all of these things. And you've made the choice to walk away from it and find a different thing for yourself. So I'm really happy that you shared what you shared today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my love. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Let us know your thoughts, what you're thinking. Join the conversation over on Instagram at Why Don't You Say Something, and check the show notes for more about this episode and what you just heard. See you next time.